heard the hatch behind him slide shut, then a quick series of clicks and thumps as the transfer tube disconnected. Karlstad grinned sardonically. "Welcome to Research Station Gold," he said. "Welcome to the Gulag." Puzzled, Grant asked, "What's a gulag?" "You'll find out," Karlstad said resignedly as he turned to lead Grant through a second hatch and into a long, wide passageway. Gold seemed even bigger inside than it had looked from the outside. The passageway that they trudged along was spacious and even carpeted, although the carpeting seemed threadbare, badly worn. Still, after all those months of tatty old Roberts, Grant reveled in the feeling of spaciousness and freedom. Men and women passed them, nodding their greetings or saying hello to Karlstad. He did not introduce any of them, but kept up a constant chatter about what was behind each of the doors set into either side of the corridor. Fluid dynamics lab, cryogenic facility, electronics maintenance shop, other titles Grant did not understand. Grant thought of it as a corridor, not a passageway. He was not on a ship any longer. This was a research station. Even though he knew he was walking inside a big, wheel-shaped hoop, it looked and felt to Grant as if the corridor were perfectly flat and straight. That's how big the station was. It was only off in the far distance that the corridor appeared to slope upward. Well, he thought, at least I'll be in reasonably comfortable surroundings and working with real scientists. After what seemed like a half hour, Karlstad stopped in an unmarked doorway. "This is your compartment, Mr. Archer." "Grant," said Grant. "Please call me Grant." Karlstad made a polite little bow. "Good, and I'm Egon. My quarters are just down the passageway, two doors," he pointed. Grant nodded as Karlstad tapped the security pad built into the door jamb. "You can set your own code, of course," he said. "Just let the security office know what it is." The door slid open. Grant's compartment was roomy, with a real bed instead of a bunk, a desk, table, chairs, shelves, even a compact kitchenette with its own sink and microwave unit. It was all strictly utilitarian, like a college dormitory room, not fancy or luxurious in the least. Certainly nothing in the compartment looked new or bright. Everything smelled faintly of disinfectant, even the thin, gray carpeting. "Two of the walls are smart screens, of course," Karlstad was saying. "That door on the right is your lavatory, the other one's a closet." Grant stepped in and tossed his travel bag onto the bed. "This is fine," he told himself. "This is perfectly fine. I can be comfortable here." Karlstad shut the door and left him alone in his new quarters before Grant could ask him about the strange structure jutting out from the station's perimeter. But as he bounced himself on the bed to test its springiness, Grant told himself to forget about it. The people running this station wouldn't build anything that would jeopardize their own safety, he thought. That would be crazy. It didn't take long for Grant to unpack his meager belongings. His clothes hardly filled a tenth of the ample closet space and bureau drawers. He sat at the desk and linked his palm comp with the wall screen. The first thing he did was to compose a long, upbeat message to Marjorie, telling her that he had arrived safely at the station and showing her, by swiveling in his desk chair while holding the palm-sized computer with its built-in video camera in his hand, how spacious and comfortable his new quarters were. Then he sent an almost duplicate message to his parents back in Oregon. But even as he did so, the memory of that odd appendage sticking out from the station's rim kept nagging at him. A flattened circular shape, like a fat discus. It was big, too. It's several hundred meters in diameter, at least. It bothered him. After sending off the message to his parents, Grant called up the station's schematics, as he had done countless times on the long journey to Jupiter. Nothing. No reference to such a structure anywhere in his palm comp's files. "Did I imagine seeing it?" Grant whispered to himself. Then he shook his head. He had seen it. He was certain of that. He jacked into the station's own files and pulled up the schematics. Nothing there either. Frowning with puzzled frustration, he scrolled through the station's files. Many of them were marked "Access Limited to Authorized Personnel." At last, he found what he wanted. Real-time views of the station from other satellites in orbit around Jupiter. At first, he was mesmerized by the satellite views of Jupiter itself, the ever-changing kaleidoscope of swirling, racing colors, endlessly fascinating. It took a real effort of will to concentrate on finding views of the station. And there it was, the thick torus of dull pitted metal looking small and fragile against the overwhelming background of Jupiter's gaudy hurtling clouds. And there was that saucer-shaped thing hanging out from one side of the station's wheel, connected only by an impossibly slim tube. Grant froze the image and framed the extension on the wall screen, then asked, "Computer, pull up the schematic for the indicated image." No response from the computer. His palm comp merely hummed to itself. The picture on the screen did not change. Feeling nettled, Grant pulled out the keyboard that was built into the desk and connected it to his palm comp, then typed out his command. The screen went blank for a moment, and Grant started to smile with a sense of victory. But then, "Access denied" appeared briefly, and the screen went dead. "Damn," Grant snapped, immediately regretting his lack of self-control. Grant rebooted his palm comp and tried again. He lost track of time, but he was determined to get the better of the stupid computer system. No matter how he tried, though, every attempt ended in the same "access denied" message and automatic shutoff. A knocking on his door finally pulled his attention away from his quest. With a disgusted grunt, Grant got up from his desk chair. He was surprised at how stiff he felt. He must have been hunched over the computer for hours. Egon Karlstad stood at Grant's door, a quizzical little hint of a smile on his pale face.
"You must be somebody special," Karlstad said, standing out in the corridor. "Dr. Woe wants to see you."
"Dr. Woe?" Grant asked. "As in, woe unto thee, rash mortal," said Karlstad. "He's the director of the station, El Supremo."
"He wants to see me? Why?"
Karlstad brushed a hand through his silver hair. "Beats me. He doesn't take me into his confidence very often, but when he rings the bell, you'd better salivate."
Grant stepped out in the corridor and closed his door behind him.
"Salivate?"
"Pavlov's dogs," said Karlstad, starting down the hallway. "Conditioned reflex and all that."
"Oh, I remember. In biology class back in high school. I'm a biophysicist, you know."
"Really? What are you doing here?
Aren't all the biology people at the Galilean moons?"
Karlstad waved hello to a couple of women coming toward them before he replied. "All the work on the moons is headquartered here. People can't stay out there for more than a few weeks at a time. You know, radiation buildup, you know."
"We're shielded here?" Grant asked.
"Hell yes. Superconducting magnets, just like the storm cellars aboard spacecraft, only bigger. And we're orbiting close enough to Jupiter so that we're inside the Van Allen belts, below the heaviest radiation fields."
"That's good. Understatement of the year."
They walked along the corridor for what seemed like kilometers. Karlstad appeared almost to glide along, pale and slim and seemingly weightless, just about. Like a ghost, Grant thought. A pallid, insubstantial phantom. Most of the doors they passed were closed, although they went through an open area that was obviously a galley or cafeteria. People were lining up and getting trays, piling food on them, moving to tables and sitting down. Hearty aromas of hot food and spices wafted through the area, making Grant truly salivate.
"Is it lunchtime?" Grant asked.
"Dinner," Karlstad answered. "Your clock is off by 7 or 8 hours. Grant had realized that the old Roberts ran on a different clock. He had assumed that all space vehicles kept the same time. They passed through more open areas, workshops and exercise gyms, then a long span with doors spaced close together. The carpeting here seemed newer, thicker, even though it was the same bland gray as elsewhere.
"Executive territory," Karlstad murmured.
Each door bore a nameplate. At last, they stopped at a door that said, "El Shang Wo, Station Director."
"Here you are," said Karlstad.
"You're not going in with me?" Grant asked.
Karlstad raised his hands in mock horror. "He wants to see you, not me."